You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
It is 3 p.m. on August 31st, 2025. Welcome to episode 34 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be another set of independent music, commentary on SFU athletics, feature on the Northwest League, report on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, updates on the Man Cup 2025, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up is Passer Par Duels Argot with Imitates a Penguin. That was Imitates a Penguin from Passer Par Duels Argot. Next up is Violeta Parra's Las Ultimas Composiciones de Violeta Parra. The tune is Pastelero a Tus Pasteles.
ya me voy para Bolivia. Como tú estés escaso, ay, 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 como aire nena, a la falta de pan, ay, 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 la torta buena. Como tú estés escaso, ay, 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 como aire nena, como aire nena, sí, ay, 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 compadre Armando, más vale
I would like to comment on SF Athletics at this time. On August 25th, the Great Northwest Athletic Conference released its cross-country preseason coaches poll, where the Red Leafs women were ranked third with 73 points, only behind Western Washington with 100, Alaska Anchorage with 83 points, while the Red Leafs men were ranked 56. Let me look. Sorry. Just want to get this correct. Just a minute, please. The Red Leafs men were ranked 6th with 56 points among 10 teams for each gender. Western Washington took first in both cross-country preseason coaches polls. Later on, the SFU men's soccer hosted Langara College at Terry Fox Field, where the Red Leafs treated the Falcons 2-1. On August 26th, the GNAC released its women's soccer coaches preseason poll, where SFU ranked second with 54 points, only behind Western Washington with 63 points among eight teams. On August 27th, the GNAC released the men's soccer coaches preseason poll, where SFU ranked third with 23 points, only behind Western Oregon with 33 and Western Washington with 27 among six teams. Also on August 27th, the SFU Athletics website announced that Nick Dasovich, a Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame inductee, returned to the SFU Red Leafs men's soccer coaching staff as an assistant coach after last coaching SFU back in 2018. Dasovich, who had an illustrious career both as a professional player and a coach, is one of few Canadian coaches with a UEFA license, last coach for the Detroit FC, reconnects with assistant coach Kevin Harms, who played for Nick Dasovich during his time with the U-20 Canada national team and Toronto FC. On August 29th, the SFU women's soccer blanked Trinity Western 2-0 at Chase Office Field in Langley as the Red Leafs Sarah Caravata opened the scoring in the 11th minute, followed by Sophia Faremo in the 13th, while the goaltending duo of Sarah Lowen, who played for 67 minutes, followed by Sophia Piperine, who played 28, kept the Spartans scoreless. On August 30th, SFU shaded Fraser Valley 1-0 at Terry Fox Field.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade, unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since. And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002. CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
I would like to feature the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Three games were on tap for August 26. The Vancouver Canadiens thumped the Hillsboro Hops 9-0 at Hillsboro Ballpark in Oregon, highlighted by Vancouver's three-run rallies in the top of first, third, with the latter capped off by Edward Durant's solo shot off Hillsboro's Ashton Izzy. Meanwhile, the visitors Eugene Emeralds engaged in a back-and-forth affair with the Everett Aqua Sox, where Everett took a 3-2 lead in the bottom of seventh on Charlie Pagliarini's two-run jack off Esmerlin Vinicio, capping off a three-run rally. But the Emeralds tied the game in the top of ninth on Parker Haber's solo shot, went ahead on John Carlos Seals' two-run launch, both of Jose Gerardo, and stunned the Aqua Sox 5-3 at Everett's Funko Field. In the third game, the Tri-City Dust Devils jumped to a 4-0 lead on the Hoboken Indians as Tri-City scored two runs in the top of first on Rio Foster's two-run jack, followed by another two runs in the second, started by Randy DeJesus' solo shot, both off Everett Catrett, but Spokane got on board in the bottom half on Blake Wright's solo shot off Chris Clark, followed by another two runs in the third to make it 4-3, and tied the game with another run in the sixth. The Dust Devils went ahead 5-4 in the top of eighth, but the Indians tied the game at 5 in the bottom half, and Spokane walked off Tri-City 6-5 in 10 innings, as Blake Wright drew a bases-loaded walk off Kyle Roach to play Skylar Messenger at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. On August 27th, Tri-City and Spokane had another back-and-forth affair, as the Dust Devils got on board in the top of fourth on Rio Foster's solo shot off Stu Fleischland III, but the Indians tied in the bottom of fifth on Max Bellew's solo shot off Angelo Smith. Tri-City regained their one-run lead with a run in the sixth, then Spokane responded with a three-run rally in the eighth to win 4-2. Hillsboro jumped out to a 6-0 lead early in their game against Vancouver with two runs in the top of with two runs in the bottom of first, three runs in the second, and a run in the fourth. But the Canadians punched back with two runs in the top of fifth, followed by three more runs in the seventh. But the Hops had a four-run rally in the bottom half to go up 10-5, followed by a run in the eighth, and Hillsboro bested Vancouver 11-6. And Eugene stunned Everett 10-4, highlighted by the Emeralds' 7-run assault in the top of 8th, capped off by Nate Furman's grand slam off Lucas Kelly. Just a minute, please. Just want to get the name correct. Sorry, I just want to get the name right. Yeah, it is Nate Furman's grand slam. On August 28th, Eugene blanked Everett 4-0 as the Emeralds got on board on the top of as the Emeralds got on board in the top of first on Charlie Ciccone's solo shot off Aquasox Evan Truitt, the eventual game-winning hit, as Ciccone drove in two more runs for a 3-RBI day with a single in each of third and fifth. Spokane bested Tri-City in another back-and-forth affair as the Dust Devils got on board in the top of first, but the Indians tied in the bottom half, then took a 2-1 lead in the second. Tri-City tied the score at 2 in the top of 4th, but Spokane had a 4-run rally in the bottom half for a 6-2 lead, capped off by Aiden Longwell's bases-loaded walk off Francis Teixeira to plate Tevin Tucker. The Dust Devils scored the next two runs, a run in each of the 5th, 8th, to make it 6-4, where the Indians scored one more run in the bottom half and won 7-5. In the third game, Vancouver and Hillsborough engaged in a slugfest as the Canadiens got on board in the top of third on Carter Coffey's 2-run jack off Danny Larondo, but the Hawks came right back with 3 runs in the bottom half for a 3-2 lead. However, Vancouver regained the lead in the 4th with 2 runs, followed by another 2 runs in the 6th to open up a 6-3 lead, which Hillsborough erased with 3 runs in the bottom half. The Canadiens jumped to an 8-6 lead in the 7th, but Luis... Just a minute, please. I might get this wrong here. But Yancel Luis hit a solo shot off Wamni Vasquez in the bottom half, where Ruben Santana's 2-run single gave the Hawks a 9-8 lead. However, Vancouver tied the game in the top of 9th on a Sam Knowlton wild pitch as Tucker Tolman played it home to ultimately force extras. The Canadiens and Hawks traded 1 run each in the 10th, followed by Vancouver's 4-run rally in the top of 11th, which was more than enough as the Hawks scored just 1 in the bottom half as the Canadiens bested the Hawks 14-11. On August 29th, Tri-City blanked Spokane 3-0 as Juan Flores' solo home run in the top of 4th off Josh Gross was the eventual winning hit, as the Dust Devils scored 2 more runs in the 8th against the Indians. Eugene thumped Everett 10-4 as the Emeralds jumped to a 3-0 lead in the top of 1st via 2 home runs, first from Nate Furman's solo shot, followed by Parks Harbor's 2-run jack, both off Jake Dollard, while Brandon Elke gave the Aqua Sox a run with a solo shot in the 2nd off Josh Bostic. Eugene's Jonah Cox hit a 2-run inside the park home run off Jake Dollard in the 3rd, the eventual game-winning hit for a 5-1 lead, which Everett responded with their 2nd solo home run in the bottom half from Jarni Fermelo off Josh Bostic to make it 5-2. But Nate Furman's 2nd 2-run launch in the 4th, also of Jake Dollard, which gave the Emeralds a 7-2 lead over the Aqua Sox, was followed by Parks Harbors, second two-run jack of the ninth in the eighth off Jose Gerardo to make it 10-2, as Eugene whacked four home runs to Everett's two in the 10-4 game. In the third game, Vancouver jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the first two innings with two runs in each of the top of first, second, but Hillsborough scored two in the bottom half of second, tied a game in the fifth with another two runs, and in the seventh, Drew Jones launched a two-run inside-the-park home run off Nate LaRue as the Hawks bested the Canadiens 6-4. On August 30th, Vancouver shaded Hillsborough 2-0 as the Canadiens scored a run in each of the top of 7th, 8th, using four pitchers to keep the Hawks scoreless, with both sides recording six hits each. Tri-City bested Spokane in a 9-6 slugfest as the Dust Devils got on board with two runs in the top of 2nd, but the Indians had a 6-1 assault in the bottom of 3rd for a 6-2 lead. But Tri-City made a 6-5 with 3 runs in the 6th, followed by another 3 runs in the 7th. On Rio Foster's 3-run jack off Kate Denton for an 8-6 lead over Spokane, and another run in the 9th to win 9-6. Sorry, I'm just trying to find out where I'm at here. And Eugene shellacked Everett for the second night in a row, this time 15-8. While Brandon Elke hit a two-run jack off Charlie McDaniel to give the Aqua Sox a 2-0 lead in the bottom of second, the Emeralds scored three in the fourth, started by Nate Furman's solo shot, followed by Parks Harbor's two-run launch, both off Ryan Sloan, and had a five-run barrage in the fifth for an 8-2 lead. While the Aqua Sox scored the next four runs, three in the fifth with one in the sixth, Eugene scored the following seven runs in the last three innings, highlighted by another five-run assault in the ninth, started by Gene Carlosillo's two-run jack off Nathaniel Garabatos, who later surrendered a three-run double to Damian Bravo, which was more than enough to fend off Everett's two runs in the bottom half, with the final score 15-8 Emeralds over the Aqua Sox. Three games are on tap today. Vancouver continues in Hillsborough at 105. Eugene renews in Everett at 4:05, and Tri-City resumes in Spokane Valley at 7:05. All times are Pacific.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the second half. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are running away in the second half with a 43-16 record and have won five in a row. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are second at 34-25, 9 games behind the Eugene Emeralds. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, are third at 29-30 and have lost two in a row. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, are fourth at 28-31 and have won two in a row. The the Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are fifth at 24-35. And the Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, the first half division winner, are dead last in the second half at 19-40 and have dropped 8 in a row. I think starting next season, it will probably best for any minor league to get rid of helps so that teams with the best records are able to play in the playoffs.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome to the second half of episode 34 in the 2025 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music, report on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, updates on the Man Cup 2025, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up in the second half is the third act of the hour, Opeth's The Last Will and Testament. The track is 5. The following content may have some explicit language, so listener discretion is advised.
Dark.